Hello, welcome to The Big Fight. It's been a really interesting week. Gujarat finished voting. A bunch of exit polls all came out, most of which were saying that the BJP is going to be winning on Monday in both in Gujarat and in Himachal Pradesh, a complete landslide in Himachal Pradesh. So that was one interesting development. The other big interesting development has happened this morning. Rahul Gandhi taking over as the president of the Congress Party, making a speech, setting out what he thinks is the main difference between him and the Congress Party and the BJP. And we're going to get all of our experts to weigh in on that as well. But there was a third element that happened this week, and that is something that I do want to spend some time on The Big Fight today, because it is a really serious charge and a serious accusation that was made during the course of the Gujarat elections. And that charge was that there is a systematic effort being made to undermine institutions. That by itself, not necessarily entirely new. You've heard about the CBI being a caged parrot for, 15, 20 years. You hear that charge. Now, more recently, that same charge is being made about the enforcement directorate, about the income tax department, about other various enforcement wings of the government, that they are all acting at the behest of the government to target political rivals. So that part is not that new or that unusual. What is unusual, relatively speaking, is that the Election Commission was actually brought into it. And a specific allegation was made by the Congress Party saying that the Election Commission has played a biased role in the Gujarat elections. We've been hearing those charges about the EVMs, obviously, for a while, but the conduct of the elections themselves, not completely fair. And that's a serious charge because we've got used to putting the Election Commission on a pedestal above all politics. Is any of this true? Is any of this fair? That's what we're about to turn our attention to. But before I do that, let me quickly welcome all the guests whom we have with us. Mr. Krishnamurthy is joining us, former Chief Election Commissioner. It's a pleasure, sir, to have you with us. And it's also a privilege to have another former Chief Election Commissioner with us, Dr. S.Y. Qureshi. Thank you both so much for joining us. And I am going to really get your take on what's been said about the Election Commission and about other institutions as well. We also have with us Amitabh Pandey, very senior former IAS officer. It's great to have you with us. K.C. Singh as well can perhaps weigh in. Both of you have been in the government, and I'm going to be asking you whether you think there is any undermining of any sort of institutions. It's great to have with us Dr. Balashankar, who's a political analyst, former editor of the Organizer Weekly. It's Ejaz Ilmi is with us as well, member of the BJP. And Pawan Khera, spokesperson of the Congress Party, joining us as well, as indeed is Ashish Khaitan of the Aam Aadmi Party, somebody who for a long period of time has been talking about the erosion of institutions. All right, can I get you in first, Dr. Qureshi? It's been, we've got used to feeling that the Election Commission, like the judiciary, is above all party politics. So it was, I'm sure it must have been a somewhat uncomfortable sight for you and indeed for Mr. Krishnamurthy to see the role and the credibility of the Election Commission being dragged into some question right now.
Indeed, the last few weeks have been very unfortunate for the reputation of the Election Commission, which is very sad. I wish it had not happened. Reputations take years to build, but minutes to get demolished. And I think Election Commission is going through a very tricky phase, and it has to be very, very careful to watch its step and guard the reputation.
Mr. Krishnamurthy, let me get you in as well. Do you think the sort of charges that have been coming, and I'm just going to restate them for people, the shifting, we've had this entire question mark over the EVMs, unsubstantiated, but that's been around, for a period of time. Shifting of the Gujarat dates, something else that was called into question. And then, of course, FIR against one person for giving an interview and TV channels and one political party and not against others. That's where the Congress Party really came out with its charges. How would you view all of these events?
Well, it's very unfortunate that the political parties are very anxious to criticize the Election Commission's independence. I do agree there are some areas where probably we can improve our functioning, but that doesn't mean that you can question the independence and the integrity of the Election Commission. The Election Commission is used to these criticisms at the time of the election. We have seen many political parties, not only in the general elections, but in the various state elections. But I think a standard has been kept in the Election Commission, which I think is very difficult for the successive election commissioners to deviate from. Though there are individual instances where probably criticism may be valid or may be partially valid, but I think on the whole the Election Commission has been an impartial institution, and I think traditions are being kept, although there are some individual opinions where it may not be that it is not as high a standard as it ought to be.
Right. Mr. Krishnamurthy, I think it's important to underline for everybody why institutions are important. You were Chief Election Commissioner, an absolutely unexpected defeat in 2004 for the NDA, the UPA coming into power at that time. But nobody ever questioned, was this a free and fair election? Nobody questions the conduct. And this is something which we've got used to in the last 20 to 25 years. Are you scared that we are starting to see a period where elections will be called into question? Is that a possibility, or do you think by now that's not likely to happen?
I am not surprised. I think the political parties will find, will employ every instrument available to question the conduct of the elections. But I'm not scared, because the Election Commission has got enough powers to deal with these situations, but it has to improve its own style of functioning if necessary, depending upon the challenges thrown before it. But I am sure that the institution will survive. The high standards that have been built over a period of time will be maintained, although individual aberrations are bound to be there sometimes.
Okay, so let me ask you about some of the questions that have come up. Dr. Qureshi, the EVM question, that EVMs aren't entirely safe. Obviously, some of it just is not practical. You know, that they are hacking into some Bluetooth signal or Wi-Fi signals. It's practically not possible. You've looked at the EVMs very closely till 2012. Is there any chance at all that there could be something wrong with the EVMs, Dr. Qureshi?
Vikram, if you allow me, before addressing this EVM question, can I comment on what Mr. Krishnamurthy said about hope that the institution survives? I would rather say that hope is no strategy. We must have institutional safeguard. And the biggest institutional safeguard, extremely important safeguard, is that there should be a system. The most powerful commission in the world has the weakest system of appointment. We are just appointed by the government of the day. And for the last 30 years, we have all been suggesting that we should be appointed by a collegium. We would feel stronger, morally stronger, because the perceptions are extremely important. Even if we act fairly, but if somebody raises a question, it does hurt. Therefore, if we are appointed through a neutral system of collegium, you have collegium for lesser institutions like CVC and CIC. They are not constitutional bodies. They are institutional, they are statutory bodies. Even a head of a department of a government, which is director CBI, has a collegium with Chief Justice of India and Leader of Opposition as members. But here, the most powerful political body has no collegium at all. So therefore, instead of just banking on hope, we must have institutional safeguard. It's a pity that for the last 30 years, no government has paid any heed to this suggestion, because they all think they are there for good. And instead of working
that's,
on the
that's a suggestion.
Interest, they just pass their time.
Okay, Mr. Krishnamurthy, let me throw that to you, because actually that could apply to all the other institutions we're going to be talking about, no doubt, during the course of the program, because actually that same argument can be made. The minute you have the CBI or the Enforcement Directorate or the Income Tax or anybody else answerable or in some ways appointed by the government of the day, then there is always that question mark which potentially could hang. Although I have to say that for most of the last 20, 30 years, there have been very few questions over the Election Commission. Mr. Krishnamurthy, the fact that it's being appointed by the government of the day, as do you agree with Dr. Qureshi that it's a possible weakness?
And not only that I agree with him, but we have officially recommended this change. We have the Election Commission has always asked for a collegium for appointment of the election commissioners. These are institutional reforms which of course have to take place from time to time. There are umpteen number of reforms we have suggested. But that doesn't mean that if these reforms are not carried out, the institution cannot survive. The institution has to survive, and we have to ensure that the persons and the principles that are followed are above board.
Okay.
I totally agree that reforms are absolutely necessary.
Okay, so let me ask you now, some of the recent examples. Do you think maybe things could have been handled differently. I was asking you, Dr. Qureshi, about the EVM question, but also then the specific comments that have come, FIR against one party, but quote-unquote roadshow being allowed the next day, press conferences being allowed to be held at airports which are not attracting FIRs, and so on and so forth. You've been hearing all the debate about it. Do you think everything is... Would you have any questions about what's been happening? Dr. Qureshi?
You know, Election Commission has more facts than anybody else. Therefore, from both sides, therefore, without knowing all that, it is difficult to judge. However, it has always been the effort of the Election Commission to be fair to everyone. And level playing field is our buzzword, the keyword. We have to measure everything on that. And public perception getting disturbed that the Election Commission has favored one party, the ruling party, and has gone against, is very, very dangerous.
Dr. Qureshi, you're being extremely diplomatic, as I guess you have to be as a former CEC. Let me just put it to you. Would you have handled things differently this week when it comes to the FIRs and the other steps that have been questioned?
Well, as I said, Vikram, I should have full facts before me, but prima facie, probably I would have handled some of the things differently. For instance, I would not have had two different set of dates. I would have done what we have always done, which is holding the elections together and keeping a gap of 12 days, probably I would not have done. And we not only have to be fair, we have to appear to be fair. This maxim applies to Election Commission more than anybody else.
Mr. Krishnamurthy, would you have done things slightly differently?
Well, I will see. There are very many grey areas in the implementation of Model Code of Conduct. So, as facts unfold before the Election Commission, a multi-member body goes into the various facts and take a decision. So, I mean, it would be improper on my part without having the full facts to say that I would have handled it differently. Yes, I would have handled it if the facts are fully available to me. But I will say that the Election Commission has to render justice in a manner that people have credibility in it. So, for example, issuing notices, we may have to issue notice to everybody who seemingly violates the Model Code of Law. Even if there is an explanation or justification for the difference in handling it, I think whenever there is even a possible variation in the compliance with the Model Code of Conduct, it is good system to ask for explanation from everybody concerned.
All right. Well, Dr. Qureshi, Mr. Krishnamurthy, I know you were watching your words, as I'm sure you have to, but I guess people can read between the lines in what both of you have said. I just want to turn it to everybody else. And perhaps I can start with you, Dr. Balashankar. Implicit in what was being said, and this question of institutions is important because we are hearing this charge coming up again and again and again, and it's a serious question because politics will happen, governments will come, governments will go, ministers will come, ministers will go, even prime ministers will come and prime ministers will go. But ideally, institutions should not in any way be eroded. And now we are starting to hear that charge coming up, which is a worrying charge. Or do you think it's just a political charge?
This kind of giving more autonomy, giving more freedom, and also creating a credibility for the Election Commission started by the NDA governments. And earlier we used to have, not only captive election commissions, we used to have a committed judiciary that talk about, censorship of the press, then the kind of rubber stamp precedent, all these things we had.
Those are going away right now. Censorship of the press is coming back as a question.
No, what I'm saying is...
Captive press is certainly coming back as an issue right now.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is for almost 6 decades, we have been fighting for independent institutions, and we have been trying to create independent institutions, and electoral reforms also started during
Absolutely.
The Janata Party government.
So here's
then
the question.
NDA.
Watch here's the question. Whenever anybody is in opposition, obviously you want good institutions, and there's a reason for it. Because having strong, credible institutions is a part of the checks and balances that keeps the abuse of executive
were taken
power
during the Janata Party government.
Governments
and
always
the NDA,
like to not have strong institutions. The opposition and citizens sometimes want strong institutions. So there's that dichotomy. I can understand why the BJP or any opposition party would want strong institutions when they're in opposition. The question is, what do you do when you are in power? Because that's when you want unbridled power.
See, in the last 3 years, this government has not done anything to erode any institution. We have actually been trying to build institutions.
Okay. Let me get two people who've been really strong and influential in the government. Overall, try to start with you, Mr. Pandey. The question of institutions, and Mr. Balashankar said that the BJP and this government has been actually pushing to have stronger institutions. Are you, when you're looking at the overall picture, institutions perhaps in any country are always under some sort of an attack. Are they under particular attack right now in your view?
Yes, I do think they're not only under an attack, but they have been largely undermined. And the importance of personalities has gone far more than the importance of institutions.
That's another strong remark to make. Do you want to substantiate that?
Yes. Well, you take the institution of the parliament, for example. Now, there has been a fairly systematic undermining of the institution of parliament, both in terms of truncated sessions, in terms of control over deep debate, in terms of passing bills through to different mechanisms like taking through the money bill route rather than taking through other routes. All these, so the institution of the parliament has been substantially undermined. Take the institution of the cabinet system of government. We are supposed to follow the Westminster-style cabinet system of government. The cabinet is now largely irrelevant because you have the prime minister and the PMO as the supreme authority. The cabinet is only an adjunct to the prime minister. The PMO is far more powerful. The cabinet secretariat is far less powerful. The cabinet secretariat as an institution has been undermined. The cabinet secretary today plays the role of a section officer of coordination, largely. He really has no role.
You seem to be saying it's not just about investigative agencies or the election commission as the charge has been made this week. You're making a slightly broader question that even government itself is not entirely functioning in the manner it is supposed to.
I'm talking of institutions, and I think we should distinguish between institutions and agencies.
Okay.
The CBI, in my view, is an agency, not an institution.
Okay.
So you can play around with agencies, but you can't play around with institutions because they are the fundamental, they're the bedrock of our democracy.
Okay, let me get Casey Singh in on this and then come back to the politics of this. Casey Singh, would you agree with what he said, or is that overstating it a bit?
Look, this has happened in the past also. Whenever you have a strong prime minister, Mrs. Gandhi used to ride roughshod over the institutions, we got emergency. There's a tendency to override institutions when you have complete control of parliament and the party. But for over a decade and a half, we didn't have that. We had coalition governments, so the institutions got a rest. But both are at fault. Don't forget that it was the Congress which took a former chief election commissioner, inducted him into politics, made him a minister. In this case, they've taken a former chief justice, made him a governor. So when you breach the institutional thing, you've taken a former CAG and said, no, but he's not drawing a salary. And at the same time, you give him the cricket board, you have him sit on the banks to decide which banks are functioning. So you're breaking the walls between institutions. That's extremely important. And that's where, I will not agree that we have some three people decide who the election commissioner should be. All over the world, either the executive controls them, judiciary controls them, or you have slightly more autonomous systems. I think the British system is very good, where one election commissioner is nominated by the government, one by the opposition, principal opposition, and one by the smaller parties. So you have three of them, and the speaker's committee then vets the names.
But if you're being appointed, then doesn't that make it even more political? Because
But there's a balance in it. Instead of having...
But you could have a deadlock, right? We've just seen in the case of the FCC, for example, that the danger with having pure political appointments is precisely this, that you just vote on party lines.
So you go between efficiency and balance. So if you're going to have balance and make sure that it is not misused, it may be less efficient, but at least there'll be no suspicion about EVMs. Now, much of that may be untrue, but who's going to believe it? So
okay.
If there is balance in the election commission and opposition has a voice there, and you know what happened at the beginning of this government, they said there's no opposition leader. So many of these appointments were held up or not made on because Congress did not have the numbers to be appointed as the opposition leader.
Okay, before I come to you, let me just go back to both the chief election commissions and see if they have a response to this. How would you do this then? Mr. Krishnamurthy, why don't I start with you? You heard what Casey Singh was saying. How would you do it? How can you ensure that the Election Commission is, can nobody can even point a finger, rightly or wrongly, at the Election Commission or the conduct of elections.
Now, I entirely agree with the gentleman's mentioning that, you know, some of these appointments after the retirement as Member of Parliament or as a minister, these are all not very desirable things, or even appointment as a governor. Some Election Commission was appointed as a governor thereafter. So we have to ensure the integrity of the institution, the party in power as well as the party in opposition, have a great responsibility to ensure that. And there is a need as far as the appointment is, and appointment not only that, removal also, there are some vagueness in the constitutional provisions. These need to be removed. That is one aspect. But in spite of all that, if an institution has to survive, it depends upon the people who operate the system. Not only the government, but the individual election commissioners as well. They have a responsibility, and I am sure that if the persons appointed are above board, and if they take their decisions above board, there should not be any doubt about even the present system. But there is a scope for improvement, and the collegium system is desirable, so that there is a credibility, because sometimes there is an impression that the ruling party has an edge over others. So I entirely agree that these changes are necessary.
So you're right that it depends on the people concerned, and they have to be seen to be fair. But Dr. Qureshi, Ambassador Casey Singh was suggesting that you could have one from the opposition, one from the government, one in some other way, collegium system, some other way of doing it. Are any of these changes even likely? Because obviously the government of the day would always like to have a certain measure of influence or control. Or both.
So, Casey has a point. Basically, the idea is to balance an institution among parties. But I think collegium system is still better, because same leader party which will appoint a commissioner, is a party to the appointment of the commissioner collectively. So it is more or less the same thing. I personally feel collegium system is better. And the second thing which he referred to, and I entirely agree, and with Mr. Krishnamurthy, that the temptation for the future has to be stopped. And the solution is very clear. No further future appointment of any kind, public sector or even private sector. But maybe to compensate for that, instead of a pension which is half your last salary, let us get full pension for life, and then be forbidden from doing anything else. Okay. That will be a very good guarantee against temptations while you're in office.
That's an interesting possibility for all institutions, actually, and it's something worth thinking about. Ashish Khaitan, let me get you in on this point, because we have been seeing, look, if you take the United States as an example, you do have a situation there where the president who's sworn in has actually come under a lot of restraining power from the checks and balances from institutions, and he's in fact almost finding himself under attack from any of the institutions. So that system of checks and balances have been working well. You and the Aam Aadmi Party and others have been among the people who have been, in a sense, leading the campaign to say that that's not happening in India and institutions are under attack. Why do you say that?
Exactly the point you raised, that distinguishes a great democracy from a big democracy. We may be a big democracy, but we're certainly not a great democracy. As you see that in the United States, institutional checks and balances are restraining otherwise an impetuous president. What distinguishes India from Pakistan or many other countries which got independent in and around the same time is the constitutional underpinning of institutional integrity and independence. We made massive strides in building institutions for the first 25 years after independence. After that, under Indira Gandhi, it was downhill. Since then, until Modi took over, it was patchy, because there were good appointments, there were bad appointments. But under Modi, we are back to a situation which is akin to emergency. The only difference is, at that time, emergency was visible. Today, emergency is invisible. Let's look at Modi ji's track record of how he has played with institutional integrity. Academic institutions, all academic institutions, he has filled them with RSS people or Sangh people without any credible academic background. You remember how governors were sacked in a wholesale fashion, where secretaries were calling governors and asking them to demit office. Now, in this case, everybody has made a point, including the two former chief election commissioners, that there should be a collegium. And collegium will certainly lead to the appointment of a seemingly fair and neutral chief election commissioner. This agenda is on the table of the Prime Minister for the last at least 2.5 years. Have you heard anything from him on that count? Forget this. Lokayukt. Has he set up a Lokayukt? What is the discourse? The discourse is that Prime Minister should even be appointing the Supreme Court judges. That's what the Law Minister said recently. So the only institution which they are salivating at and have not been able to destroy is the Supreme Court of India, which is the last bastion. Otherwise, all other institutions in this country have been decimated by Modi ji, and we are looking like a banana country, banana republic.
All right, really strong words from him there. All institutions have been decimated, is what he's saying. Ajaz?
Well, for first, what he spoke about a banana republic, I think Mr. Ashish Khetan is totally way of the mark, and he's obviously in the wrong company to imagine mighty India as a banana republic. We are a democratic, socialist, secular democracy run under constitutional provisions with the rule of law. And if this nation and its people are large enough and mighty enough and savvy enough to elect a prime minister of their choice in a parliamentary system, then the faith of billions in a person like Prime Minister Modi, he's the one who's elected democratically, one has to give it to him because he's the one who has to give these appointments. If you want to, you can be against Modi, you can be anti-Modi, but to put a question mark on every appointment, that would be a bit too rich.
Pause.
Coming from Aam Aadmi Party, which also wanted to hold up Republic Day, where we celebrate Constitution and get anarchy on Rajpath. So I don't want to hear this lecture from an anarchic situation that they wanted to impose on this country.
I'm going to ask him whether they're anarchic or not, but just pause the button for a second. In what you said, there's a one slightly dangerous thing. It's saying, yes, people will elect a leader. In a democracy, you elect a leader. And by the way, you could have a leader elected and getting 542 seats, right? So the entire country has reposed faith in a dictator, in a leader. But the difference between a leader and a dictator is that there are always checks and balances and institutions in a democracy that limit the power of that leader. Isn't that the way it should be?
Vikram, the constitution rules and provisions for appointments, have they been changed since Mr. Modi became Prime Minister? It's all the same. The Prime Minister has to decide and make his choice apparent in an appointment. But at the same time, look at the vilification that the Prime Minister is unfit to make these appointments, and then you call an election commissioner, CEC, like Mr. Jyoti, as a puppet of the Prime Minister. Such specious allegations is demonization of democracy, is vilification of the system.
Why did the Congress say it? I'm just going to ask him that right now. But Ashish, you want to respond to the fact that have you perhaps gone too far in saying that, when you're saying that India is becoming a banana republic, at the end of the day, Ajaz's point is people are electing a leader and that leader then has to be allowed to govern.
People are electing a leader to protect institutions, to protect the constitution of India. People are not electing a leader to decimate, destroy constitution and all the constitutional institutions. In the case of Mr. A.K. Jyoti, why is there a perception gaining ground that he is a puppet? First of all, the dates, the way the dates were staggered between Himachal Pradesh and Gujarat, completely spacious, false, bogus grounds, only to help Bharatiya Janata Party and Narendra Modi so that they can announce a series of SOPs and big schemes before the Model Code of Conduct comes into place. That was the only reason why they had delayed the election in Gujarat. Number two, in the run-up to the election, what are you doing? Can any sensible person, reasonable man say that there was a uniform yardstick applied to Congress Party and BJP? A roadshow does not invite a notice. An interview invites a notice. A FICCI conference broadcast live on television channels does not invite a notice. But an interview invites a notice, not just invites a notice, a threat is issued to TV channels that FIRs will be slapped. So a gag order is issued. What is happening in a country? I don't remember, maybe the memory of other panelists here is far greater and deeper than mine, but I don't remember that the institutional memory of Chief Election Commission or Chief Election Commissioner in this country, the Chief Election Commission has stooped to such low levels of going out of the way to help the ruling party.
Complete vilification of a constitutional body like the Chief Election Commissioner. I think you're going on a dangerous path that in your animosity, you will vilify every individual, you'll call them to question, you'll call them a puppet, you will demean their basic character.
Sir,
they put in years and years of hard work to build their characters, but because it doesn't suit you, you will vilify them and call them puppets. That is strongly reprehensible.
All right. I just want to get a final word from both Mr. Krishnamurthy and Dr. Qureshi before they leave us, and then I'm going to come back to the rest of you. Mr. Krishnamurthy, strong words being used about the Election Commission becoming a puppet. This is the sort of a thing which I'm sure you would want to see rectified in some form or the other. Do you think those charges have some basis in recent behavior? Like, for example, the shifting of the winter session of Parliament by 15 days.
Yeah, ask them about the winter session.
I mean, the shifting of winter session of Parliament by 15 days, you know, steps like that.
I would like to clarify that Election Commission is a multi-member body. It is not run by Chief Election Commissioner as the principal of an institution. Three members decide. Whether they are deciding correctly or not is beside the point. But do not accuse only one individual. The Election Commission is a multi-member body. And they are supposed to have exercised their mind and taken certain decisions. Whether the decisions are right or wrong, it is for the court to decide. But the point is, a multi-member, three-member Election Commission is supposed to discuss and decide after discussion and after verifying the facts. So it may not be proper to accuse only one person. It may not be proper to say that the decision has been taken.
All
because
right.
When Mr. Session was the Chief Election Commissioner, they have brought in two persons of equal rank.
Yeah.
So do not level an allegation against an individual.
Yeah, your point is fine. Ashish Khetan will say, okay, fine. I'm making those comments about all three of them. I'm sure that's what he would say. That's fine, Mr. Krishnamurthy. Thanks so much, sir, for joining us. Dr. Qureshi, let me get a final word from you. You did say you may have done things slightly differently if you had been there right now. And so as a result of that, some of the charges and questions that are coming on the Election Commission, perhaps they should be they sit in introspect. Would you feel that way?
You know, the maintaining the dignity of an institution is not the job only of the incumbent. In fact, the government should also be fully supportive and cooperative. I think it was unfair of the government to expect Election Commission to do something which put them in such a spot that they haven't recovered from. The announcements and the inaugurations could have been done 10 days earlier.
Dr. Qureshi, just one second. You're saying the government expected the Election Commission to do something. Actually, the Election Commission is not supposed to be doing anything because the government is asking them to do it. That's precisely the reason it's an independent body.
Yes, quite right. But at the same time, it is necessary for the government and all political parties also not to try and put the Election Commission to such a test and to put it in such a spot where it can create embarrassment for the institution. Therefore, things normally, for instance, I was telling you about the model code of conduct. Those inaugurations, if they had taken place 10 days earlier, the government would have spared the Election Commission a huge embarrassment.
All right.
So, why is it that all the bright ideas for new scheme come only a week before the election and not for 4 years and 11 months?
All right. Dr. Qureshi, Mr. Krishnamurthy, thank you so much for joining us. I want to throw that to you. Is that a fair exoneration of the Election Commission to say, well, it's part... Okay, maybe the government is also to blame, and certain governments will want to get institutions to behave in a certain manner or the others. Is it for the institution to somehow find a way of standing firm?
Yes, I mean, there's nothing to prevent the institution from standing firm if it wants to. It did stand firm in the case of the Rajya Sabha election of Ahmed Patel. It did show itself in...
And that's a valid point to make. When charges are made that this Election Commission is biased, the Election Commission did take... It was that time accused of helping the Congress party and not the BJP. This is something I'm about to ask, Pawan.
True. But that's no reason why, if they did it, they now need to equally balance it by being partisan on the other side. So, but surely they should be seen to be above all this politics, which unfortunately the impression that one gets or the public perception is that this time round they weren't.
I'm going to ask you a question and then I'm going to throw it back to everybody. In India, supposing you were to be the head of the CBI or the IT or the ED or the Election Commission or any of these institutions that we've been talking about, and the government wants you to do something and you say no, what happens?
That's why the Constitution's given you protection. That's why you are an institution.
But practically, does it work, or does that mean the government will find a way of making your life difficult? If you're a government, if you're a bureaucrat, and you stand up to the government, you'll be transferred. You can be. A lot of things can happen to you.
See, that is why by the time you put in 35 years of service, the governments have slotted you. They know you're reliable. You work for them. You've been dependent on them, or you are very independent-minded and therefore troublesome.
So you will not put such a person there. That's why you need a collegium to get those troublesome people who have taken independent stand all their lives.
Okay.
Otherwise, they'll be sorted out.
Very interesting point. Pavan Khera, let me drag you in on this point. So do you think at the end of the day, all governments, and I'm going to ask Mr. Balashankar also, Dr. Balashankar, at the end of the day, all governments like to have people whom they think will not be troublesome and put them into powerful positions?
If you take the example...
I'm sure Trump is feeling right now that there are some people whom he's appointed, he said, Mr. Well, is troublesome. But
if you take the example of UPA 2, we had Vinod Rai as the CAG. Of course, he was troublesome. Well, fair enough.
I'm sure you regretted it.
No, nobody regrets it. These are institutions that need to function independently. Whether they are functioning right or wrong is for history to decide. But so be it. If they are troublesome, they are troublesome. Does not mean you try and tame them. Does not mean you try and domesticate them. That's not how political
leadership... It's not that the Congress has ever tried to domesticate institutions.
No, I mean, right now in the dock is the BJP. You've put us in dock enough. We've lost elections, perhaps because of some mistakes of ours also. I acknowledge that. Does not mean you keep putting us in the dock. Now it's their turn.
Okay, you're in the dock, Dr. Balashankar.
And his turn too.
Okay, so Dr. Balashankar, is there a particular effort right now, as Ashish Khaitan is saying, of undermining institutions at this stage?
See, other than making these accusations, there is no concrete evidence of what the government is doing. Has the government done anything to manipulate or, as he is saying, domesticate any institution? Or has there been any instance like we had during emergency or during a Congress regime when they were only accepting people who have Congress background? Even Naveen Chawla and, for example, people like that declared Congress background. Such people were appointed into election commission. We have not done any of those things. We have appointed bureaucrats there. We had no
Naveen
talk
Chawla
about...
was also a bureaucrat, by the way.
Of course he was.
Just to remind you.
Of course he was. So that is what I'm saying. We had domesticated people there at that time. But the BJP government or under Narendra Modi, there has not been a single institution where appointments were made on this kind of considerations.
It was I'll give you an example. Fairly. Look at the Gujarat cadre bureaucrats and look where they are. Don't give me this.
What is wrong with being in Gujarat?
Fine, when you do it, nothing wrong.
No. Okay. But
why?
But Pavan, hang on.
Don't say that you don't reward people. People who've been loyal to you.
Pavan.
In fact, they have compromised with their professional integrity and been loyal to, and therefore they are where they are.
Pavan, Casey spoke about reliable. I mean, I use the word reliable or pliable. But when you are in the election commission, you work within the confines of the constitutional provisions given to you. You have a mandate, which is very, very clear. There could be leverage, but you cannot go outside and do something which is grossly unconstitutional because the courts, it's going to be challenged in the courts.
Absolutely.
But do not demean individuals.
Two examples.
I'll
give you three.
And say they're puppets.
We are not,
do not vilify them.
No, we are not vilifying anybody. That's not our job. I'll give you three examples from the last fortnight. On the 8th of December, the campaigning comes to an end for the first phase. They release their manifesto on the evening of 8th of December. Yep. 9th is the polling. Followed by a press conference by none other than Mr. Arun Jaitley. The election commission does not bother. When Rahul Gandhi's interview is being aired by the same channels, they get FIRs, Rahul Gandhi gets a notice. But the same channels air Amit Shah's press conference from the Ahmedabad airport, which is a public property. No notice, no FIR. Give me a reason why.
I'll tell you. Simple. When the election campaigning ended and Mr. Rahul Gandhi came on the TV channel, he spoke about voting for his party, which it's very clear, the 126 article, I mean, you got to read
a
little bit.
Very good. I'm glad you've given me this example.
I won't, because I'll forget. Mr. Arun Jaitley,
8th of December, Mr. Modi asks for votes in rallies. The campaign had come to an end.
In the second phase, you can.
Fine.
Campaigning doesn't stop.
Amit Shah asked for the votes again in the press conference from Ahmedabad Airport.
The Prime Minister did not show the party symbol.
Unless you are only looking at Rahul Gandhi's interview and you ignored Amit Shah's press conference,
it's very clear. The Prime Minister.
We've debated this. Casey Singh.
See, very simply, the world has changed. 24/7 television, social media, Twitter. Model code of conduct is antiquated. You cannot have this kind of restriction. Advanced countries don't have it. People will go on tweeting. They'll go on social media. Forget about it.
But then it should be one-sided.
Allow both sides. Don't this thing.
As long as it's balanced.
Also, what happens is when there's multi-phase, you're campaigning in a neighboring constituency of the same state. Essentially, so, people are watching it on television.
So therefore, the case there, then Amitabh Pandey, would be to change the code of conduct. Yeah. You can't apply it selectively, I think is the point that Pawan Khera is making.
Absolutely, no problem. And I think one should go beyond this specific instance of partisan, allegedly partisan behavior. The fact is that the undermining of the institutions, very rightly pointed out by K.C. Singh, began with Mrs. Indira Gandhi and has been successively done by every government. The last person who respected institutions was Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru. After that, we've had every government systematically undermine each and every institution. And I think Dr. Qureshi touched the right point that this is, when you have a system of appointment by which you, it's virtually a system of spoils, whereby you appoint your most convenient, most pliable officer as the chief election commissioner. Now, you're constrained to, you can't do that with every appointment, but you can certainly do it with the election commission at the moment. What's more, the number of post-retirement sinecures which have now been created, they have multiplied in thousands.
Okay.
Not just, so you have chief information commissioner, you have information commissioners, you have any number of post-retirement, you have tribunals, you have courts. It's bewildering. And each of these becomes a means by which you manipulate and exploit it so that your bureaucrats become pliable, they become a thing, and you offer this as a temptation. This is what Dr. Qureshi was pointing out.
So Ashish Khaitan, let me come back to the basic point that you were making. You said that the subversion of institutions is happening at a rate right now which is unparalleled. And you said, you know, perhaps the emergency was the last time when you feel this is happening. If that is really the case, and the possibility for this to continue to happen in the future, this government, next government, any government, is always there. I'm sure if there was an Aam Aadmi Party government, you would be tempted to subvert institutions also. So how do you change this? How can you fix this problem?
I think by following Raj Dharma. I think every prime minister is a political animal, and there will always be temptation to win an election, to look after, tend after one's political interests and one's party's interests. But the post of prime minister is an article of faith for the people of this country. And Atal Bihari Vajpayee, before Modi ji, Atal Bihari Vajpayee was the last BJP prime minister. He understood this. And that's why he reminded Narendra Modi, the chief minister in 2002, to follow Raj Dharma. If Vajpayee ji were active in politics today, I think you would have said the same thing, and you would have reminded Modi ji to follow Raj Dharma, to place national interest, to place the interest of the people of this country above petty politics and above his own baser instincts, which what he is doing right now. And country will pay a heavy price for this corrosion in institutional integrity, because this is not going to stop here. You saw what happened in UK, where Mallya said that CBI cannot be trusted with any independent investigation because it's a political puppet. Country's reputation is being tarnished, and Modi ji does not realize this, or he knows this, but that's the way how he wants it.
Okay, I'm going to get all of you to respond to that. But before I do that, Ejaz, quickly respond to that, then I'll get the others in.
Despite what a petty thief like Mr. Vijay Mallya can say to the British Crown in his defense, it does not.
Ashish's point that this is an unprecedented development and institutions are under unprecedented attack.
I don't know if it is applied to all other institutions as well.
Well, two things. One, we need to devolve and decentralize much more so that institutions of democracy at the local level are far stronger, and therefore democratic accountability of the institutions becomes stronger. We need to strengthen that process of devolution and decentralization.
Okay.
Two, we need to reduce government. The government is becoming bigger and bigger, more oppressive than ever before. Now it's entering into areas which...
But anytime you want to centralize power, why would anybody want government to go down? If you don't want to have strong institutions, you would want the government to be strong.
Exactly. So you increase the government to a level where institutions of the government become weaker and the executive arm of the government becomes stronger and stronger.
Okay.
Today, the Aadhaar card is a perfect example of something which started as a means of empowerment and as a public service,
okay,
and has become now a means of control.
All right. Let me get quick last words from everybody. KC Singh.
Two points I've already made. more transparency in appointment of commissioners. Secondly, model code of conduct just updated. Thirdly, EVMs. Now, Election Commission conceded some of the demand when they got the paper trail, yeah. VVPATs. Now, what is the problem with saying instead of doing 5%, we will test 25%? So they went to Supreme Court. Supreme Court has rightly said, let the problem arise first. Why can't Election Commission be more dynamic and start conceding, which are normal demands?
Okay, fair enough. Dr. Bhajanga.
See, we have to look at the appointment list of Kejriwal to see how political appointments are made. He is accusing Narendra Modi of making political appointments. But the opposition party, whenever they are in power, they have been abusing every institution to the maximum. Even independent bodies like, you know, Minority Commission or Women Commission, all are being politicized by these parties. So this accusation has no basis.
All right, Ashish Khaitan, you know better, you do it also, is what Dr. Balashankar is saying.
Only you have to see the list, the appointment list, including that of...
And perhaps that's the case, every government wants to erode institutions, naturally that's how the government gets more power.
History will always judge governments whether they were institution builders or they were institution destroyers. I'm sure Modi ji be remembered as one in the latter category. But the problem is not with institutions per se. Chief Election Commission or the three panel Chief Election Commissioner, they are doing their master's bidding. The problem is with the political dispensation at the top. There is a systematic design in place in the country to destroy every institution and to establish a single party state like China. This is what their mission is.
Ajaz,
and that's
is that your
how
mission?
They are working. That's the problem.
I think Ashish has
single party, single party state with no institutions to
Ashish
curb the
has,
power of
Ashish
your government.
Ashish has totally lost all the faith in the citizens, people sitting out here, that they're the ones who elect their government. They will decide who should lead them, who should be chief minister, what kind of governance they want. Ashish, irrespective of what BJP wants, Congress wants, or what you want, it is them they will decide. So let's leave it to them.
Okay, leave it to them.
I'll give you an example of the Amit Shah case in the CBI. One judge gets transferred, the other dies mysteriously, and the third judge becomes pliable. That's one clear example from recent past. You take the example of dilution of RTI. Now, these are two, three things that will prove to you how this government is diluting every bit of transparency under the sun which was available to the citizens of this country.
Okay.
So therefore, our faith in this government to protect the integrity of institutions has been eroded completely.
That doesn't give you the right to call the election commissioners as puppets of the regime. Do not demean them.
I will not just call them puppets.
They have spent a lot of time building their careers.
I will say they are bandhua mazdoors right now.
Do not vilify people.
I will.
They have their own prestige, their family.
Because I saw in Gujarat.
If you don't like their conduct, doesn't mean you vilify them beyond
a
point.
What we went through in Gujarat is something which I'll
question it.
I'll write a book on this, and that book will become a bestseller.
The Supreme Court has said the election commission is the ultimate arbitrator of election laws. So do not vilify
this election commission is a bandhua mazdoor of this government.
All right. Well, you know. Fine, we've had former chief election commissioners in here as well to talk about it. Look, the question of the protection of institutions is one of the most important things that has to be continuously discussed, debated, and safeguarded in a democracy, which is why we are doing this show, and which is why, by the way, people keep on doing the shows, because one of the things that the institution of the press has to do is to try and ensure that institutions are being safeguarded and are being kept alive. It's the most important thing for anybody to do in a democracy is to protect the institutions. Charges are being made that those are under attack. I'll leave it for everyone to make up their own minds, whether that's true, whether that's wrong. One thing, which I will certainly say for sure, is that it is incumbent upon all of us to keep fighting, no matter which party you belong to, whether you're in the government, whether you're in the opposition, or whether you're just a citizen of the country. It is, however, incumbent upon you to make sure that the institutions that underlie the republic are actually kept secure for all time to come. And that's what we will keep on coming back to every time we think that the subject deserves to be debated here on The Big Fight. Thanks for watching. We'll be back next week.